us an update on the future InfoWars, but the truth is, no one knows what's going on. I feel like it's Star Wars Episode 4 where they're flying to the Death Star and the big guns are shooting at them. They go, the guns, they've stopped. And the head guy goes, stabilize your rear deflectors, watch for enemy fighters. I got two marks set. Yeah, that's what's going on. But they got the receiver. They announced they were going to sell it. And then everything went crickets. And they won't talk to us. We have no idea what's going on. I mean, it is just wild. But it's okay. We got all the backups, everything else. Thanks for your support. Kyle Serafin, I wanted him on about all the stuff that's going on. It's actually frightening how accurate this guy is. And he really doesn't get the credit he deserves. I know there's always the talking points and the bots attacking him because he's just been right about everything. It's crazy. But I want to get his take on the uprising the left's trying to launch, the pipe bomber proof. Even Congress, his own lawyers are saying, yeah, he didn't do it. He's a patsy. Serafin months ago when the GPS data came in said he's miles away. It looks like he's a DoorDash driver. This is a setup while the pipe bomber's actually there. Now that's coming out in court. It's just crazy how everything the bad guys do in government now falls apart. And they just move on to the next cover-up and the next cover-up. And that's really the problem is there's no way to even... There's so much evil going on, I can't even keep track of it anymore. We just need to reject anything the left, the globalists say, and then ask, though, the big problem, what the hell's going on at the DOJ and the FBI? Because you see DHS, because it's a newer agency. And by the way, I was against its formation. Because who wants more agencies and more government? But it's kind of an example of something newer that the president actually controls where you can get something done. I'd say just get rid of the FBI and then have a new division of the DHS that does what the FBI does, investigations and, you know, counterterrorism investigations and counterintelligence. I mean, I'll ask Kyle Serafin about that, but I think that's probably the answer here is we've got, because I'll tell you, DHS is like, I mean, I see the stuff they're doing and the people Trump puts in, and it's like night and day. Night and day. But we're going to first get into Minnesota and what's happening there and play a few clips that I haven't gotten to yet. And I got to be judicious because I've got... This morning I only sent like 8 clips to the crew. And they brought me more clips. And I'm like looking at so many clips. I'm not going to send them that one. I'm going to send them that one. Because I've been up since 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. Just watching the left call for mass murder of federal agents. And then all these other leftist talk show hosts at big shows... Going, Jones is a traitor. He was always against the police. He was against the feds. And now he's sucking the weenie of the DHS. I never said that. I've said thousands of times for 30 years, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-unconstitutional government. When the government does its constitutional duty, I support it. And when they're doing their duty, ordered to do it under attack, I fully back enthusiastically. When the military and police were training to take your guns, they were the whistleblowers. Now we got the information, the videos, the documents. I exposed it. The media spun it that I said, oh, the military's bad. And when firefighters exposed it, it was a countdown to blow up Building 7. The media spun it. Jones says firefighters blew it up. I didn't say that. Firefighters told me they had a countdown, and they were told it was blown up. And then I found local newscasts they sent me from the time where it was admitted. But that's how they spin it. No, the average firefighter, the average police officer, the average state police officer, the average DHS person, Border Patrol, are great people. Even low-level FBI I found have been very good. God, a lot of what I know is because of good FBI agents like Ted Gunderson and so many others. But this is a constitutional government. What Trump's doing is constitutional. We have an evil globalist criminal left literally trying to say it's illegitimate and overthrow the country into chaos. And we better stand with President Trump and federal law enforcement at this point. I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done.
Boy, this song certainly goes with the poor young black men they're openly framing for the pipe bombing. We'll get into that. We got a lot to cover with Kyle Serafin. But first, I had him scheduled, trying to get him on for a few days. He could continue today about all the craziness at DOJ, the pipe bombing hoax, Patsy unraveling completely, everything else. Who else is about to leave DHS? This guy's got 1,000 batting average. Talk about, you know, Nostradamus. But he's just informed. We got a lot of great sources. But I want to get his take first on Minnesota. The Democrats have said, oh, we're going to kill ICE, or, oh, when you kill a protester, we're going to have an uprising. That's the plan. Now we're here, and now they're trying to act like, oh, they want nonviolence, but they've got people pulling people out of cars, beating people up in Minnesota, New York, going crazy. I wanted to show you a few of these videos. Believe me, I could go for hours just with these. Mask trans Antifa goon from Portland, Oregon issues death threat to ICE agents who shot woman that tried to run them over. And then we've got, this guy says he's black, he's a white guy, running around screaming, saying Second Amendment is to kill ICE, it's to kill the government. No, it's if you have a tyrannical government. And you have Don Lemon famously months ago saying, citizens are coming to kill you, get guns, wait, kill ICE. Then you've got Jimmy Kimmel last night. Oh, we saw the video, they ran her over, she's innocent. Or, you know, she didn't try to run him over, she's innocent. But we have the footage of him bouncing off the front of the vehicle. These people are sick. This woman says she wants to bed rot. She's going to lay in bed. But if that doesn't work, if her protest of laying in bed doesn't work, well, it's time to start killing ICE. That's terrorism. And don't worry, lady. You're going to be in a supermax prison when this goes down. You'll get a real good chance to rot. This guy, I mean, it just, I mean, I have so many of these. This woman's like, I've chased ICE around. I've blocked their vehicles. Oh, my God, I could have been killed. She wasn't killed for that. She was killed for spinning her tires and trying to run him over, and he bounces off the vehicle. So let's go ahead and play a few of these clips back to back.
To the ICE agent that murdered that unarmed civilian in Minneapolis, we have your face. We have pictures of you.
You notice he talks just like the guy at the Catholic school in Minnesota. He talks just, all of them have this same. I'm sure he's Mossad too. Like, there's no Trantifa. The only people attacking me in public in the last year are trannies. Okay? You've seen it on video. They come, I'm going to kill you in D.C. Sorry, go back to the video.
To the ICE agent that murdered that unarmed civilian in Minneapolis.
Sounds like Alexander Soros.
We have your face. We have pictures of you. We will get justice for a fallen comrade. Whether it be judicial justice or street justice. Depends on whether or not you turn yourself in and admit to your crime. That wasn't self-defense. That was murder. And you know it was murder. Don't put it off as self-defense.
Just like with George Floyd. We not gonna, what? We gonna tear this motherfucker up. That's what the fuck has to happen. Does anybody know why we're given the Second Amendment right? Google it. It's to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government.
That's true.
The police are supposed to be on our side, fighting, pointing their guns at the government. It's the facts. It's not for honey. It's not for self-defense. It's to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. It don't get no worse than this. It don't.
Yep.
What the f-?
I know that's right.
What the f-? I have a little baby. I have a little f-ing baby, man. And it's like I had to adopt her to protect her from this sh-. You put a baby to my gun's head. You put a gun to my baby's head. I'm going to hurt somebody. That's what they're doing to us. I'm not Hispanic. I'm black. I just be sitting home smoking my weed, enjoying my money. But I'll die about this. I don't have no quality of life left. And if you think you do.
Hit pause. I'm going to stop in a minute. But just. I smoking my weed with my money. You got these welfare people that don't want to go to war. This same guy almost got killed, drug 300 feet. And they're out there literally. The Second Amendment. Get out there. Get them. I'm telling you, you got the mayor saying a week and a half ago, oh, ICE, you're going to die. These people are just beyond sick. Let's finish up with it.
We don't have no quality of life left. My wife is a documented. She has her work permit. It's legit. She won't go to work because they'll take her still. They're taking people that have documents.
Total lie.
They're taking kids. They're doing all. You guys, this is where the world ends. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. They go snatch the president of Venezuela.
By the way, I blew this video up. This guy is not black at all. It's like the Mitch Smith of Minnesota. Or Mitch Snow of Minnesota.
That's where we got to go, you guys, the White House. This is only going to go so far. This is bullshit. This is bullshit, guys. This is bullshit. You can just abort a baby.
So ICE just murdered an innocent civilian bystander today. So that's where we're at in this country. If you don't like where we're at in this country, please, I invite you to bed rot with me. On January 20th, we are going to just not do any of our responsibilities.
I got a feeling she bed rots a lot.
Because if you're a woman, you know how much we actually run. And I'm sick and tired of propping up a fascist regime that has no problem murdering me. And they better count their blessings. We're just bed rotting for a fucking day. Because the Second Amendment exists for this reason. And if protests and boycotts aren't working, that's the only option left. You have no excuse to not take a single day off. You can do it. Nothing's more important right now. So please spread this around because I don't want shit getting more violent.
Anyone that's claiming that was self-defense can eat and get They told her to turn her car around and leave. She was doing so, and an ICE agent pulled his firearm and murdered her. That's what happened. You've seen the video, which I don't recommend you do. The ICE agent was at risk. He was clearly out of the path of the vehicle.
No, that's
and she
not
was
true.
With their
but you won't show it.
So the next time one of you human fucking skidmark pond scum mother tells me about how you just need to comply, I'm going to comply by drop kicking you into the sun. To the ICE agent, I don't know your name yet, but I'm sure we will. And I hope that you and all your buddies who were patting each other on the back after this happened know that your futures are because you know what? You might be safe right now with a racist, bigoted administration in charge that'll protect you. But the second that the adults are back in charge, hell will come to breakfast and there will be consequences. You don't get to murder people.
Well, I can tell you, I talked to Nick Sorter off air and others. They were DHS did everything they could to be restrained. It's a miracle this hasn't happened yet. And you think they want Soros DAs coming after them? You think they wanted to kill this woman? No. And you have all these LARPing people yelling and screaming and throwing bottles at them and rocks, all of it ramming their vehicles, and you finally got somebody killed. And now you want to push this country into civil war, one you will lose. Kyle Serafin, I know you sent me the code, the law. Was this a legal shooting for what you've seen? I've talked to other current feds I know today off record, and they said 100%. You can see that right there. That he bounces off the front of the vehicle. And he didn't say, oh, she hit me and I pulled the trigger. He didn't do that. He said, no, I thought she was trying to kill me and other people. It was a danger. I did. He's already been drugged 300 feet, stitches all over his body before 6 months ago. So you go to these war zones, you go where they have court orders, even stronger than a warrant, and you're impeding this, a totally constitutional duty. What do you expect? And now you've got the left trying to push their uprising, George Floyd 2.0. Your overview of this and where you think this is going. Kyle Serafin, thank you so much for being here. Top FBI whistleblower.
A couple things come to mind right away. Number one, I'm a gun owner and I own a fair number of firearms. And so I'm kind of worried that someone might try to hold a baby to my gun's head. Whatever that guy was talking about, maybe a little bit less weed for that dude would be good. That was one of the weirdest threats. I've never seen a threat like that. So that's actually really concerning to me because I don't even know what that would look like. We saw a lot of impotent rage. That's the only way I can categorize it. LARPing is a really good way. The guy with the mask, you know, these are not people that are real threats to anybody. They're the guy screaming. I've never seen anyone drop kicked into the sun either. So that's pretty strong hyperbole.
Yeah, they want that guy's probably never been in a fight. Go out and kill. They're trying to incite.
And just any reason to just mouth off and, you know, get your clicks. And so this is silliness. There was a lot on the right as well. I saw people calling it domestic terrorism, including the Secretary of Homeland Security. I don't like that. That's not good. This was not anything more than a simple officer-involved shooting or an agent-involved shooting, and it happens occasionally. It's always tragic. Somebody lost their life. She makes a series of poor decisions, not the least of which was apparently she's a 37-year-old mother with a 6-year-old at home or at school, and she thought it was her best use of her time to block ICE, obstruct a federal enforcement operation.
She left her husband for this other woman, we now learned 3 years ago. The woman admits she brought her out there to do this. She feels bad about it. Good for her saying that. She went to a war zone and found a war.
Yeah, look, women that are in that, if you have a 6-year-old, what are you doing there? My wife, we have an 8, a 7, a 4, and a 2-year-old. And I'll tell you what my wife's not doing in the middle of the day on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. She's not out blocking ICE in our minivan. That's just not where she's going to be. She's going to be taking care of our kids and doing the things that are relevant to that, maintaining our household. So anyway, this was a misuse of her own resources and time. But broadly speaking, none of these people actually are not quoting anything that matters. So the issue that's going to be at stake here is going to be the deadly force policy, which comes out of DHS, and the deadly force policy for DHS and DOJ. It's essentially identical. I can recite it from memory. I've done it thousands of times.
Here, overhead shot. You sent it to us. We'll put the HD on screen. Okay. So
if you go to page six, at the bottom of page six, you'll see it says deadly force. Okay. And so the deadly force policy is as follows. It says essentially that law enforcement officers, in this case of DHS, can use deadly force only when necessary. And that is when the subject of such force poses an imminent danger of death or serious physical injury to the officer or to another person. Now, you mentioned that he was dragged down the street about 6 months ago, did about a 300-yard drag, hanging out the window of a vehicle that they were trying to apprehend. And that guy was a violent sex offender from wherever. Okay, so he's now has what we call in the law enforcement world training and experience. I guarantee he's got certain training. It probably said don't stand in front of a moving vehicle, but whatever. Things happen when you're in the street. There's book knowledge, and then there's the real world. He's in front of a vehicle. He looks over and sees his buddy reaching in to try to put the vehicle in park or stop the woman from holding on to it, whatever the hell he was doing. You don't know what the buddy's doing. All you know is the only thing that's going to matter is the reasonable belief. That's the first part. So it has to be reasonable. He doesn't have to be right, Alex. He just has to be reasonable that a regular officer with the same experience and training would come to the same conclusion that it was an option. You don't have to actually do it. There's always what's called the deadly force policy. It's kind of like a big circle. The smaller circle is your own deadly force policy, which means you may be authorized to shoot, but you don't actually do it. Okay. So people don't take the shot all the time.
Came in when he bounces off the front of the vehicle.
Oh yeah. 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 That, I mean, the sympathetic nervous system dump that goes on when somebody gets hit by a car or thinks that they're about to get hit by a car, especially if they've already done it.
I'm not going to try to run over people with guns drawn. I mean, like, what does she think is going to happen?
Well, if you do, you should probably expect that they're going to shoot at you, right? I mean, that'd be reasonable. Maybe you're in a life or death scenario. People draw a gun on you. The reason you're driving is because you think it's going to happen. Now, regardless of what the woman's intent was, which is irrelevant, regardless of which way the wheels are pointed, which is irrelevant, all that matters is that the officer involved can articulate a reasonable belief that the woman, and specifically the woman piloting the vehicle, which is what, a 3,000-pound weapon system, right? That it was in forward motion, that he heard the engine, that it, you know, lurched towards him. And the minute that happened, he made a split-second decision to decide whether he was in imminent danger of death or serious physical injury. Doesn't matter if the shot was going to stop that. Doesn't matter whether or not, she hit him, even though it appears that she
and
did.
He said, none of those things are relevant. I wasn't just worried about me. It was others, because she's literally aiming at him, coming at him, hits him. He said, I was worried about other people, which I think is reasonable.
That's 100% reasonable, especially if she's just now been involved in a potentially fatal, attempt on an officer's life. There's this entire concept of like the mad dog in mad pursuit or hot pursuit. And so in law enforcement, you worry about if somebody has just shown the propensity to do violence, especially to a federal agent or officer or, you know, a law enforcement officer, what will they do to the general public? You know, and so his firing of the shot is going to be considered reasonable. I think I'm just speculating here based on what he's probably going to testify to. And he's going to give a shooting review. It's going to be people who understand the use of force continuum and what's supposed to be done there. But there's case law over this. It's called Graham v. Connor. People can look it up. There's basically a three-pronged approach. It has to be something serious that the force is used on. So deadly force with a vehicle equals deadly force with a gun. That meets the serious category. Imminent danger of death or serious physical injury. Well, getting hit by a car can cause death or serious physical injury. And imminence is 3 feet in front of you. The vehicle moves right at you. That's as imminent as it gets.
Well, he bounces off the front. But notice Kimmel said she had no weapon. A 3,000-pound SUV is a weapon.
And there's plenty of court decisions. The Seventh Circuit has already ruled on that a vehicle in motion can be considered a weapon system. There's plenty of examples of you know, local cops and feds getting hit with vehicles. This guy had personal experience with it 6 months earlier. So his testimony on that is going to be even more aggressive. And here's the last thing that people understand. This is not a local matter. This is not like Derek Chauvin, where the local DA can come in and charge the federal officer. If they try to do that, they're going to go in and they're going to invoke Nagel, which is a Supreme Court decision from the 1890s. And in 1890, they said, essentially, you cannot arrest one of our people doing their job for the federal government because they're doing things and they're covered by the Supremacy Clause. We will roll them in. We'll give them qualified immunity under that. And so the feds can actually dismiss any charges unless there is a federal case. And so there's a question
Walls
of Christy Noem earlier.
In his press conference last hour, he said, we want locals control. We want local investigation. He wants.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. They can want it. It just doesn't matter. The Supreme Court has already ruled on this. It's very, very old case law. We're like 140 years past that. So too bad, so sad. And this is the express reason. And by the way, I'm not cheerleading the Trump administration. You said earlier, you know, we need to stand with ICE and stand with the administration. I actually think that what you're saying is a little more nuanced in reality, just because I know you. What we're saying is when the administration is actually doing things judiciously and they're actually operating under constitutional principles.
ICE and this clear thing. Yeah, not everything.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So when you're constitutionally doing the job and ICE has a authority to do this, this was passed by Congress. Nobody debates whether or not ICE can go in and round up people that are illegal. Then we need to say it's good to see the administration support them. What I don't like is that the administration is getting political about this and calling them domestic terrorists and all this kind of stuff. That's charged language. At the end of the day, this is a simple use of force scenario. It happens all the time, unfortunately. And if you choose to be on the wrong side of federal law enforcement, when they're just standing in front of you, and you rev your engine and you hit a guy and another guy's trying to tell you he gave her a lawful command. He said, get the F out of the vehicle. It's not a nice way to do it, but that is a command. And she was obstructing from everything we can tell. So I think you're going to find that this is a good shoot is what we call it. It's going to be justifiable under the deadly force policy. There's going to be infinite amounts of talking heads. And what we see that's really dangerous is the people on the left are calling it murder.
They're attacking federal buildings, courthouses. They're blocking roads, attacking people, New York, Minnesota. They're going with this. Kimmel's saying Trump's coming to kill you. Where do you expect this to go now?
I don't think it has the same effect as George Floyd. And that's because the left has set up that a leftist white woman, even if she is a lesbian now and previously had a son with a man, even if she's a lesbian white woman, she doesn't rate high enough on the victim hierarchy, I don't think, to burn down cities. That's just my guess. I think we've been told pretty credibly by the left over and over again that if you're a white person, you can't be killed by the cops. So this might be a time for them to reassess some of their rhetoric. But I am seeing AOC, Dan Goldman, fill in the blank others calling it murder. This is clearly not murder. This is an officer involved shooting. It's a tragic scenario. Nobody wants to see a mom killed. I also don't want to see moms get in and obstruct federal officers. She has no idea why those guys were there. There's a reason why people show up on these operations wearing body armor. And I got a couple of friends that are good, decent FBI agents, people in the DEA, people that are out there, ATF, that are assigned to the task force, that are doing the thing that everybody's kind of okay with. Like, you know, get rid of the illegal aliens. That seems reasonable. It actually is going to benefit people on the left that don't have money and stay home all day and smoke weed. There's going to be more money for you. So you should want this. Watching these guys walk around in body armor, do you think that they're putting that on because it's fun? It's not really fun to wear body armor. I mean, the LARPers might think it's cool, but it's actually kind of a pain in the butt. It's bad on your back. It's very uncomfortable. It's not the most warm thing. So you got to put, you know, different sort of articles of clothing underneath it and then put it on top. At the end of the day, if you're in the middle of something where everybody around you is wearing body armor, you should ask yourself a question. What the hell am I doing here? And having been a guy that was a medic on these types of operations, having been a guy that was on security perimeters as well, you know, you see people that want to walk through your security perimeter and you just think, are you completely boneheaded, you daft fool? Like, we're wearing body armor because someone might shoot out of the place that we have people going in with guns.
I was
guns.
About to say, the main pitch
this
now.
This is a stupid safety issue.
They wouldn't let a doctor through. But now they point out the guy was screaming at him the whole time. Now he goes, I'm a doctor, let me through. They already called an ambulance.
No, you can't come in. First of all, it's a homicide scene that they're going to do an investigation of. There's going to be a shooting review. But that is not the first priority. If you try to ram a cop, or even if you try to flee and it looks like you're trying to ram a cop, and someone has to shoot you, think about every officer-involved shooting you've ever seen. Priority one is not start CPR or put a tourniquet on the guy. It's almost always put handcuffs on and disable. So I've done CPR on people who are on handcuffs. It happens all the time. This is something that if you get on the wrong side of the law, you're now like the third or fourth priority. We're going to look after the people that were involved in the shooting to make sure that they didn't get injured. We're going to make sure that the bystanders are good. Your priority of works are basically your team, the general public, maybe flipped depending on what's going on. And then you're also going to look at like the last priority is what happens to the person that we had to shoot. If that person is bled out, and by the way, she was probably already gone from what we can see. I mean, looking at her on the steering wheel, I don't know that she had a chance. You don't get to just run up and say, I'm a doctor. Like, how the hell do I know you're a doctor? And anybody who's ever been on one of these scenes as a medic, as someone who used to ride in an ambulance, one of the worst things that can happen is someone running up and going like, I'm a community nurse, or like, I don't deal with emergency medicine every day.
And that's what
you
they
may
said.
Know
they
more,
said, I
but
don't
you don't
care
do more.
Because the guy had literally reportedly been screaming at him for 30 minutes. But just imagine they have all these apps and all these Soros on radio stations sending people, and the governor saying, attack, attack, you'll be dead soon.
I think this is a great opportunity that Jacob Fry, the mayor of Somalia, Minnesota, is looking to run for governor. I mean, we just saw Tim Walz kind of walk away from that. So he's obviously looking to step into a bigger political role. He took his opportunity to do a leftist win, and he went out and said, you know, get the F out of our city. And, you know, sounds real tough talking. This is the same guy that was like babbling on in like broken Somali the other day. So I'm fine with kind of looking at the rhetoric for what it is. I'd also like the right to actually cool it down because, again, domestic terrorism, that's not the win here. Calling it something that it's not. Let's just de-escalate mentally for people to understand some guy who had a really rotten experience 6 months ago and got dragged around by, almost got into the same thing, maybe saw his buddy about to face the same thing. And he engaged what looks like a probably justifiable use of force. It's going to depend on how he articulates it, what he says, what he saw, when he saw it, why he acted. Everybody's made a lot about the three different shots.
The left going out to LARP needs to know these are constitutional duties, court ordered. These people are under attack. I'm not going to go confront a bunch of people, you know, trained killers when they're doing a legal job just to scream at them and then be upset if I'm ramming with a car and end up dead. Like, to the LARPers, lets them know this isn't a game.
It's not a game. Did you see the way that guy drew his pistol? For whatever it's worth, if you show the slow motion footage of the way that officer or that agent reacted to the vehicle coming at him, he had about a sub 1 second draw. And I think he delivered in the first one in somewhere between like, 1.1, 1.2 out of the holster. This guy is not a guy that doesn't know how to draw his gun. He had some adrenaline helping him out, but let's be really serious.
And
that guy was not about to get
dragged
down.
The target. He literally so fast. It was like a cobra strike. He was like,
he had three rounds in under a second delivered from the first impact. I went out there and kind of put that on a shot timer as well. This was a guy who wasn't going to get dragged behind a vehicle again. I can't blame him. And I don't think he wanted his partner to see that either. It's not awesome to do that. So, end of the day, it's sad, but trying to turn it into a political hate market.
And you got leftist women, Winance, playing warrior, doing stuff.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, there's a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. That if part of that is, but the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there. Concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Yeah, sirens in my head, wrapped up in silence, our circuits are dead. Can I decode my heart?
All right, there's a live press conference with the press secretary Leavitt and the vice president talking about the shooting yesterday. Let's play a few minutes of this and see what they're talking about. And then we're going to drill into Dan Bongino. Now, folks, I don't end fight. Dan Bongino is not important enough to talk about unless we ask the question, why did he 180 on Epstein and crooks and everything else and be an established mouthpiece, then leave and now announce, I'm going to police all the bad MAGA people? And then now you see who's boosting him, the bots. It's all the pro-Israel people. This is bizarre. We're going to talk about this because it's a window into the shakeup at the DOJ. Is Trump going to reform this or let this continue? But after all Bongino's flip-flopping, my advice would just come back. Do we used to cover corruption? The old Bongino a year ago, I agree with. The new one's terrible. No, it seems like he's going to double down. So Kyle Serafin got the inside baseball on that. We'll talk to him in a moment. But first, here's the press conference.
Good afternoon, everybody. Let me be clear. President Trump and his entire administration stand fully behind the heroic men and women of ICE and will always uphold law and order in the United States of America. The deadly incident that took place in Minnesota yesterday occurred as a result of a larger, sinister, left-wing movement that has spread across our country, where our brave men and women of federal law enforcement are under organized attack. Right now, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers are facing a 1,200% increase in assaults, a 3,200% increase in vehicle rammings, and an 8,000% increase in death threats. ICE agents are faithfully enforcing federal law to protect the safety of the American people by removing criminal illegal aliens from our country, which is exactly what nearly 80 million Americans elected President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance to do. Radicals in the Democrat Party are furious over this. They don't want our border secured or criminal illegal aliens being removed. As a result, Democrats are impeding immigration enforcement operations daily, creating extremely heightened and dangerous circumstances that make it nearly impossible for the men and women of law enforcement to simply do their jobs. Democrats are calling to defund federal law enforcement agencies who are protecting public safety. And Democrats are calling to abolish ICE and defund the police. That will never be allowed to happen under this president and vice president. The Trump administration will redouble our efforts to get the worst of the worst, criminal, illegal alien, killers, rapists, and pedophiles off of American streets. The Department of Homeland Security will continue to operate on the ground in Minnesota, not only to remove criminal illegal aliens, but also to continue conducting door-to-door investigations of the rampant fraud that has taken place in the state under the failed and corrupt leadership of Democrat Governor Tim Walz. Taxpayers have been ripped off to the tune of billions of dollars in this one state alone, and that is going to end, and people are going to be held accountable. The Trump administration has activated thousands of federal agents, doubled the number of U.S. attorneys in the DOJ office in Minneapolis, and surged resources to hold fraudsters accountable and demand justice for law-abiding American taxpayers and citizens across our country. And that's what brings the vice president out here with me today to discuss all the Trump administration is doing and to make an additional important announcement on this front. So please, Mr. Vice President, will be joining us now.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Great. Well, good afternoon, everybody. And I want to echo some of what Carolyn said about what we're doing to combat the rampant fraud that exists in our immigration system, thanks to failed politicians and thanks to people who allowed the American taxpayer to be taken advantage of for far too long. I think it's important to understand why this matters to the American people. I am a father of three young kids, a lot of people in my generation. What is that going on there? Is that normal? Okay. CNN installed this broken camera just to throw me off my game, but it's not going to work. So here's the simple fact here. If you're a young parent struggling to afford childcare in the United States of America, there are programs that we have to make it easier for your kids to get in daycare, for your kids to get in preschool. Those programs should go to American citizens, not be defrauded by Somali immigrants and others. Make it hard for you to get the access to the resources you need. But number two, making it easier for people who shouldn't even be in this country to fleece the United States and our taxpayers to begin with. We have actually activated a major interagency task force to make it possible to get to the heart of this fraud. We have Department of Agriculture resources that are focused on SNAP fraud so that people who need food benefits can get them, but illegal aliens and other fraudsters don't. We have over 1,500 subpoenas that the Department of Justice has issued to get to the heart of the fraud ring. We've done almost 100 indictments, mostly Somali immigrants, but also a few others. And of course, we're looking in with broad investigatory authority to a number of the instances of wrongdoing that we've seen in Minneapolis. But we also want to expand this. We know that the fraud isn't just happening in Minneapolis. It's also happening in states like Ohio. It's happening in states like California. And so what we're doing in order to help coordinate this remarkable interagency effort from the Trump administration, but also to make sure that we prosecute the bad guys and do it as swiftly and efficiently as possible, is we are creating a new assistant attorney general position who will have nationwide jurisdiction over the issue of fraud. Now, of course, that person's efforts will start and focus primarily in Minnesota, but it is going to be a nationwide effort because, unfortunately, the American people have been defrauded in a very nationwide way. I want to thank a couple of people for their cooperation, in particular Pam Bondi, our Attorney General. First of all, for getting a lot of resources to Minneapolis to start to investigate and prosecute this fraud, really at an industrial scale. We've never seen fraud like this in the history of our country. Pam has been doing a great job to get the resources there to uncover it. But importantly, creating a job like this often takes months, sometimes even longer. When we realized that we needed this Associate Attorney General position, Pam got this person up and running in about a week. We're going to make the nomination hopefully in the next few days. We'll obviously let you guys know who that is when we do it. I've talked to Senate Majority Leader John Thune, who has promised me swift confirmation for this official. But this is
all right, let's stop right there. Sorry to cut into your time, Kyle. I appreciate you. We got a lot to cover here. KyleSerafin.com, Kyle Serafin on X. So Kyle, you know, obviously we haven't seen a lot of prosecution so far. We'll see if we see him here. I'm not going to hold my breath. Any other comments about Minnesota, the fraud investigations, Somalis? I'm going to move into Bongino and obviously his bizarre mission. We know when he was there, he was the attack dog of Patel. Anybody questioning Crooks and the Trump assassination? Anybody questioning any help for Tyler Robinson? A bunch of people would call up and yell at them. And it seems like he's going to continue in that role. And he just seems to be really self-appointed and bizarre, but you're getting past him. I want to get into what that signifies and all the incredible evidence that you first basically began to predict and lay out of the pipe bomber suspect being a patsy. Kyle Serafin, you got the floor. Let's go through it.
I hate that press conference. Sorry. I just really hate it. I hate everything that I just heard. And the reason is because you're talking about symptoms. It always infuriates me that Republicans answer when they're campaigning is that we want to cut government and we're the party of small government and we're conservative and we're just like you. And that's why you got to vote for us. And if we lose the midterms or if we lose the next election or if we lose the midterms or if we lose the election, all this is crap. Because every time they get an opportunity and they're like, here's a problem. Rather than say, you know what, the federal government actually has no effing business being involved in childcare. There is no federal mandate, charter, or any other reason that we should be paying for childcare out of the federal budget of all things. What they did is they just told you that they are creating more government. And people are going to not like that sometimes because you want to be on team this or team that. J.D. Vance, generally speaking, seems really bright. But they all operate in the system where they seem like there's no other option except we just have to always answer the problems of government with more government. It's why I'm not a Republican. It makes me want to puke. And every single time that we sit there and listen to it, you're like, yeah, it is a constitutional.
Why are the feds involved in any of this?
Why are you involved? Go to the symptom. I mean, go to the cause of the problem. Go to the disease. The disease is too much government. It's never like, you know, why is there fraud? The reason there's fraud is because you have a program that people can defraud. And so anyway, it just makes me sad whenever I see this because I want to like these guys. In so much as I want to have a party represent my position, and it doesn't. It never does. And so Republicans are just Democrats that are going the speed limit. Democrats are just wheels off. You know, every problem in society can be fixed by government if you're a Democrat, and every government problem can be fixed by more government if you're a Republican. What the hell does that leave the people like me to do? Because it's infuriating. And that makes me a quote-unquote black pillar. I think that's a good segue, at least, to where we're going to talk about what Bongino is. I listened to your analysis the other day where you said he's essentially put himself in the position of MAGA police. I think it's an appeal to authority, which is a logical fallacy. But he's basically said, I used to do law enforcement previously, and I just left the FBI, and so now I'm the self-appointed MAGA police. I'll tell you what you can or can't say. And he even said it real clearly. If you guys have the clip that's been flying around social media, he said, because I'm going to try to work within winning the midterms. And I'm at the point where I don't believe that government is the answer to government. Unless you're cutting it, why are you trying to get me excited about it? And I'm not. I don't like government. I don't want it to be there. I like constitutional government, which means small government. I like what the Federalists said, and the Anti-Federalists had the disagreement. That's why we have a Bill of Rights. I'm big on the Bill of Rights, which is the leash on government. It just makes me want to puke that these people never once address the thing that they actually got elected to do. And then you see all these pro-Zionist accounts, and I'm not like a big Israel does everything bad in the world kind of guy. That doesn't fit the worldview that I have. I kind of don't care one way or another about what Israel does. But I'll tell you what, when there's a pattern of a bunch of Jewish people and Jewish, like, you know, pro-Jewish Zionist, you know, sycophants going out there and propping up Dan Bongino, who told you that when he wakes up in the morning, you know, the thing that's dear to his heart is freaking defense of Israel. It makes me go like, okay, fine. You guys all got the talking point memo. What the hell are we doing here? Who the hell is this guy think he is? How does he not read that the people that really do want America fixed and really were hoping that Trump was the U-turn that we were looking for, this ain't it. That's not it. It's not going to be there going out there. If you want to go out and start your comeback tour by picking a fight with Matt Gaetz, I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? I'm sure he'll come after you and me at some point in time. You know, what are we trying to say? We're saying the government should do what the government does well when it's within its authorities, and we should have less of it as a general rule, and it shouldn't do more stuff. That's what Democrats do. Dan Bongino is going to come police us for our thoughts. Like, no, thank you. And then he hung his hat on the pipe bomber thing. I watched that whole painful sort of like relaunch interview last night, which was just, you know, it was just, it was a live stream hijack. He was pretending that he didn't own the channel that it was on, that he didn't own the set that it was being filmed on, and that he didn't pay out of his pocket the lady that was quote unquote interviewing him. That's not an interview. You know, that's a puff piece. And he popped up there and he basically said he's going to come after black pillars. They did great work at the FBI. They got rid of all of the dangerous management that was problematic. They killed
it. Pipe bomber in a moment, but if I wanted to destroy myself, I would do what he does. He is totally delusional that he already discredited himself and now he's coming back doing this. I can't wait till the attacks begin. I mean, because I'm not a vindictive person, but this is going to be hilarious because he's been warned. It's very sad to watch.
It's just really predictably dumb. Yeah, if he was a smart guy, what he would have come back and done, it's real simple. He would have said, I know a lot of you are disappointed with the results, and I'm a little disappointed with what I can do. I can't even talk about all some of that because I got NDAs, and I'm just, you know, I'm in a rough spot. And so I understand that people have frustration. So here's a thread. Go ahead and do your worst. Drop all your meanest memes. And I know I kind of deserve it. And it's you know, he should be humble and
then he would
repost
the memes and make a joke and he'd be loved again. But instead, he literally is on a mad dog power trip.
Yeah, now he's like, I'm going to kick your ass. The Godfather's back. Like, you know, the like, I don't know. I don't know any other way to say it than if you came in, took your licks, failed at releasing the Epstein files, didn't find the person that dropped the cocaine in the White House, couldn't find out who leaked the Dobbs decision, put up a patsy when it came to the pipe bomber, going to hang your hat on that. And then your job is going to come back and be MAGA police. And you're going to come after people that are blackpilling, which is just people like me that are independent conservatives. I call myself a bacon cheeseburger nationalist now. It's kind of my little thing. It's kind of like a Christian nationalist, except I don't care if you're a Christian or not, as long as you share my values. And so there's a ton of us that are out there. They're regular guys. They've got their kids at the park when I go there. They're, you know, getting their oil changed because they don't have room because they live in a smaller house where they can't put their vehicle up and change the oil in the front yard anymore. And there's too many government regulations. Just regular people who want to be left to freaking hell alone by their government. And Dan Bongino is going to come tell us what is and what is not right. And by the way, if we don't agree with it, I'm more emotional about this than I should be because Dan Bongino betrayed me in a very transactional way. And watching him go after Matt Gaetz the other day, he called out Matt Gaetz and said,
Matt Gaetz has been playing. Great whistleblower and a great guy. He just said, oh, great,
he went
Grok,
after him.
Great Grok. Bongino's like, I'm the original. I ran for office. He's like, okay, great. When did he run for office? Which we all know he did. And he attacks him and says, how dare you ask that?
What he did was so wild to me because it's a complete lack of self-awareness. Bongino took a stab at Matt Gaetz and said, there's allegations that you were involved in paying young underage girls for sex, which we've all heard the allegation. Here's the funny thing. Number one, you completely blew the Epstein file situation as even just a PR nightmare.
The key is Bongino defended him because it was all exaggerated, made up. Like one 17-year-old he didn't know decades ago.
But let me add to that,
Alex. Defended him and now turned around on him. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, just pull all that back away from that. Who cares about all that stuff? That's history. Dan Bongino just left the deputy director chair of the FBI where he could have commissioned an investigation into Matt Gaetz for the allegations that a congressman was involved in underage sex for money. That seems like a thing that's a public corruption case. That's real easy. That's within the FBI's jurisdiction. And he's just looking for a punch point. So it's kind of like when you see someone who's doing the self-own. It's like, well, who would have the jurisdiction to solve that problem? Oh, you? And you didn't. So tell me that
so
you didn't
did
do anything
Bongino
when you're at the FBI.
Why did the Matt Gaetz pedophile story, which isn't true?
That's what it should be. That's exactly what it would be. That's the real thing. It's like it's easily turned around right back on you. If you're going to make that allegation, you were in the place to know that thing.
What is the business model when you're already seen as an establishment person to not go after real black pillars like Candace Owens with imaginary Wachuca stuff or Son of the Zodiac stuff, but instead you're going to go after people that are obviously under a target, and it's just the dumbest thing ever.
I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It looks like people that haven't recognized that the scene, that the the ground level truth has actually changed, and that the way that people feel has changed. If you think you can bully people into agreeing with you because that's what has to happen, and over threat of we're going to lose the midterms, I think regular people have stopped caring about that as much. It's like, well, listen, if you're not going to, what's the big difference between Republicans and Democrats? Yeah, we've got some border solutions, but inflation is still high. Things still cost money. So going out and touting successes and being a cheerleader for the regime instead of saying, I want to see more reform. Dude, the guy quit in 9 months. There are people that are in your audience right now that deployed for quite a bit longer than that. And he cried about it the whole time.
Well,
so
let's just
I don't know.
Clear,
I just feel
though,
like a complete
clear.
Lack of.
I want Trump to succeed. That would be indictments. Bongino didn't deliver that. The people want action. That's the problem, Bongino. Not being bitched at because we want action.
Okay, so Viva Frey made a really funny point the other day. Actually, it was earlier today. He said, Bongino simultaneously said, you're a black pillar if you call out what he did with no indictments, okay? And he said, look, we got a real problem here because there's it takes time to build the indictment. It takes time to be able to get the case together and so on. All right, fine. Then he simultaneously, in the exact same, you know, few minutes, mentioned that Jim Comey is not going to be re-prosecuted because they have this massive legal hurdle, and the legal hurdle is the statute of limitations. So is it the statute of limitations and we have to move quickly and time is of the essence, or is it we got to take our time and do these things right? There's got to be a balance. By the way, we just passed the statute of limitations for anything that went on January 6th, unless you prove a conspiracy, and nobody seems like they're doing that. So this is a failure. And again, you can't go out and say, I failed, but now I'm going to come back and claim authority because I've seen what failure looks like.
Well, he's going to change the subject, attacking everybody, and it's going to be spectacularly destructive. Moving on from him, 100%. It's just the gods make those mad who they would destroy, or gods make those mad who they're about to destroy. He's not that important. This is very sad. Moving on from him.
Yeah, or more importantly, let's just simply, and this is a broad thing for all the Trump administration, be humble or be humbled. That's a very old adage. And if you can't recognize that you did some things well and you did some, at least J.D. Vance has that going for him because he does appear to approach things in a very humble and unemotional way. So anyway, as my buddy from New York likes to say, he's kind of my version of the Bongino. He sounds a lot like Bongino. He says, whoever angers you owns you. Right now, everybody owns Dan Bongino. Everybody all those over social media owns him.
Yeah, and they're blocking left and right. It's just funny. We have to talk about it because it's bizarre. But what about the pipe bomber, the new developments, general stuff, shake up at DOJ? If Trump doesn't fix that, we're screwed. What's your information on that?
Okay, so the big thing is that Jocelyn Ballantyne, who we were told was not involved, is still signing all the orders on behalf of DOJ. She's still the United States, the assistant United States attorney. So she's the delegate of Jeanine Pirro. And she was the one who went after Enrique Tarrio and General
this
Flynn
be clear.
And others.
Back to Bongino, I said get away from him. He's saying they cleaned it up, it's all better. You got a bunch of examples. That's not true.
Yeah, it's all day long. Look, the number four at the FBI right now, the woman who describes herself as the operations officer for the FBI, she was promoted under Jim Comey. She was promoted again under Chris Wray. Her name is Shannon Perry. I brought it up here before. This is one of their worst decisions. She's not an FBI agent. She's a DEI hire. She's a leftist. She went after whistleblowers while Chris Wray was there, including me. She ran the insider threat program and weaponized it against those of us that were calling out the malfeasance previously. And that woman was hired like just after 9/11 as a German linguist. She has nothing to do with law enforcement. She's not a law enforcement person. And so you're going to tell me that you rooted out the corruption and the people that were the problem when you literally have Chris Wray's handpicked special assistant staying there and working against the interest of what we thought you were
getting.
And
that ties to the message of Trump. Hey, you got Todd Blanche, the Democrat lawyer from Southern District. You like him. It falls to Trump. Trump has a blind spot here, and he's completely wrong. You got this lady, Chris Wray's minion. I mean, this really falls to Trump. I'm not throwing the baby out of the bathwater. I want him to succeed, but good God, Trump.
This is low-hanging fruit. And again, so Jocelyn Ballantyne was pointed out on social media by a lot of people. You heard people respond and say, okay, well, we've removed her. So she's now got like kind of a mouthpiece that's out there speaking in front of the public. But she's still signing the orders, or there's someone signing on her behalf. So, you know, DOJ is not cleaned up, at least not at the ground level where the prosecutions happen. And then you've got this sort of interesting dynamic that has happened in the pipe bomb case, which is that I don't think these guys ever expected it to go to trial. I don't expect that they thought that Brian Cole Jr. was going to mount a serious defense. They got a confession out of him. I don't know what they threatened him with in the thing, but there's video of it. So there's a 4-hour video, 2 hours of it. He actually says, I didn't have anything to do with any of the things you say. And then they threaten him with another felony charge, lying to the FBI. He admits to saying, okay, yes, I did it. Then they leave the room. He's autistic, so he has probably a weird sense of time. And that may be the reason why he's buying, you know, like these kitchen timers. I've been told by people that deal with autism all the time that sometimes autistic people want to externalize time. So anyway, he bought the, he says, I did it. They leave him for 20 minutes all by himself. Then he comes in and gives them a 90-minute confession of whatever it is they want to hear. And one of the greatest things is they don't have to explain things like, hey man, where's the black powder that you use to make explosives? And he was like, oh, I threw it away. It's in the dump. Meanwhile, 3 weeks later, he's buying more bomb making equipment per them. That's pretty wild. Okay, the second thing is they go, where are those expensive ass nice shoes that you were walking around on the day? And he's like, oh, they got ratty. I threw them away. I feel like my next call, which by the way, this is one of my long-term projects, I'm going to reach out to Nike to see if they'll comment on their very expensive shoes falling apart and needing to be thrown away when they're just being walked around in a neighborhood by a guy that doesn't do sports. Because I've got shoes that are over 10 years old that cost some money.
Sure, those shoes are like $300. His car, clearly his, and you have the GPS. Where he's a mile plus away from where the other person is. It's ridiculous.
And the FBI didn't seize it. They left it in front of his house. You can drive out to the cul-de-sac right now. It's still sitting out in front of the house because the FBI didn't seize it. I've never heard of that. I don't know why that was. And then let's get to the more broad thing. I don't think anybody counted on them hiring a couple of pit bulls out of Tennessee who are former United States attorneys or former AUSAs, assistant United States attorneys. And they're apparently very good. So Alex Little and Josh Lawson are the two attorneys that have joined on. They're a very small boutique firm. I know agents who worked with those guys from their federal time that have retired since then and said, these guys are great. And they are mounting an aggressive, serious, well thought out and challenging defense to the federal government. And the federal government is basically only getting away with what they're doing simply because they've got a favorable seat in Washington, D.C., where it's going to go tie to the government. But there's
Hold
some
on,
real
do five
serious
more minutes
problems.
With this. I want to finish this. We want to break it 1 minute. But people
look
miss
at this.
You.
I mean, just what you're seeing on like what you're seeing on the screen
no,
is
come
enough
back to
exculpatory
this. And you said
evidence.
This from the GPS months ago. You said he's a DoorDash. His car's way over here. How is he that person? Now we have the footage of him, his car, and it's incredible. We're going to come right back to you in 2 minutes. Don't forget, folks, we're listener supported. Can't do this without you. We have a huge sale that ends tonight. Buy any supplement. Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Bovine Colostrum, all of it, our Spike Protein Detox, Ultimate Life Force, and get a free bottle of Shilajit Gummies or Atomic Defense Immune Booster. Those are both amazing products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's how we fund this operation. But these are really great products. You're missing out if you don't get it. That free gift ends tonight. We've also got 6 more days left. Any purchase puts you in 50 times in the sweepstakes. For the super off-road vehicle, the Ford Raptor, that's all super deluxe. It's all there at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And we have the new Border Patrol ICE t-shirt, limited edition, support local ICE raids. So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed, 2 I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, Saint Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.